And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You're listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
Boom! Hey, bud.
What's up, man?
How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Are you? You sound good.
Yeah. I'm pretty good. I had a good birthday.
I know. I was about to bring that up. High. You beat me to it.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Start over
again. Happy fucking birthday, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate. I mean, you know, I love you so much. I mean, I appreciate you too, but I figured I'd go right in for the lovey-dovey stuff first.
Right. Well, I love you too. You're my brother.
Yeah, man. It was funny. I actually thought about it a little bit. I went, you know, as you know, I went camping this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's the first time in 15 years that I've been camping.
Really?
Yeah. And obviously when you're out camping, I mean, this is like camping. You know, no cell phone service. You're like completely cut off.
Wow.
Not staying in a cabin. Tent. Whole deal.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. You got to hike in with a pack.
Mm-hmm.
Bring all your own food and water. All that good stuff. Anyway. Wow. It's just sometimes I forget how we met. And like just how random and kind of weird it is.
Yeah.
You know? Because
it's pretty wild.
As you start growing up, I feel like you start realizing, I don't know. I'm at a point where, like, I didn't need new friends, you know? And you weren't in any kind of, like, real sphere of mine other than you knew Clint. Right. But it just kind of all felt really natural. And all that to say is I'm super thankful for you, man.
Oh, since your birthday. Well, I feel the same way. And I mean, the whole Clint thing, like, I barely even knew Clint.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, that's what I mean. It wasn't like you knew each other, and so we all hung out at the same time or something. It was a different thing.
The butterfly effect of how we got here today from 2.5 years ago is pretty wild.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's been really.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not only while we're being cheesy. It's not only...
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get it out.
No, I want to honestly say, like, I've learned a lot from you, dude. And I know...
Oh, whoa. okay.
I know we rag on each other a lot and stuff like that. That's part of our brotherly friendship. But, I mean, everyone who listens to this podcast enough knows, like, when we rag on each other, it's all in jest and love and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I don't think I... You... It goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago. I don't know how to describe it. Obviously, we have enough in common to be able to be really good friends. It's not like it's just some kind of like friendly working relationship. Like, we're actually friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you're also the type of person that maybe I wouldn't have normally been around, if that makes any sense. And I think in some ways, vice versa, right? And I think I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from you. Like, I've learned a lot by myself.
Right.
From being around you, and I don't know. It's been really cool, man.
Yeah, we kind of definitely ran in different circles. Like, if we lived in the same town,
we wouldn't have
we wouldn't have been like hanging out.
Sure.
So,
it's pretty cool, man. Anyway,
I'm totally appreciative of the relationship that we have.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I really don't have a lot of, like, friends that I go hang out with.
Right.
You know, and I haven't for a long time.
Sure. I get that.
I wonder, though, like, if I lived in Birmingham, would we, like, hang out all the time? Seriously.
I don't hang out with anyone all the time. So, just because of the nature of what my life's like, I don't know. Because I've had friends that I was really upset. Now, Clint's an exception, I think. But it was funny. One of my really good friends, his name's Brian Murphy, and he moved to New York from Birmingham. And I swear to God, I think I saw him just as much from going up there working when he lived mm-hmm. there as I did when he lived in town. You know what I mean? Like, when you get older, it's not like you can... when I say older, too, I mean when you're not 23 or something. Like,
right.
you can't go out every night. You can't go hang with your friends every night. Yeah. Unless you want to be, like, in my case, like a terrible parent or...
Right.
You know what I mean? You just can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know if we would. You know what? I think we would. I think you guys would come over to the house a bunch. We'd totally hang out on the weekends or something.
Yeah.
Well, and if you lived here, oh my God, we'd get to do every episode in person.
That's true.
That would be amazing.
That would be cool.
I mean, I love this, but if we could sit in the same room. That would make
it so much more. We could, because we could do it like, you could be like, hey, look, Wednesday, can we do it?
Because
I can't do it Sunday. You know what I mean? Because we're right there.
It'd be bonus episodes galore.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you move down here, man?
Well, we've been talking about moving to Nashville forever. It seems like now something lit a fire under Susan's ass, and she's really wanting to do it. So she's looking and really. So, but I'm like, I wonder if part of me is like, I wonder if Clint will hang out with me or if he won't. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God. He's in the same spot I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all,
Ethan too, like,
sure.
Could go hang out with Ethan.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe he won't want, maybe they don't want to.
Well, that's not the reason to move or not move. Come on, man.
Oh, no. I mean, that's just a side thing.
Sure.
Like, I want to move. There's a few like big reasons to move, you know?
Mm-hmm. No.
But I'm just thinking like, you know, we could hang out on the weekends.
Sure. Well, I'm glad we didn't get to the bottom of this. You want to move on with the show? Okay. So what? We're at episode 138 now. We've got our counts right.
I think so.
I think this is actually 138. And we're going to talk about an old, old show. An old, old Pearl Jam show from 91, August 23rd, Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, there's nothing majorly outstanding. It's not like it's just Pink Pop or Drop in the Park.
Right.
And I don't hear a lot of people there's not a lot of chatter about this show online. But it's pretty good video. It's pretty good audio.
Audio's terrible. Video's good.
Is it really?
Yeah. Wait until we start listening to it.
Terrible?
It's pretty bad, man.
All right. But it is, the one thing about it is it's actually Dave A's first live show with the band.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So.
And guess what? Which I know you know this. I was just setting it up, but.
No, dude. Just pretend.
We'll pretend.
What?
You know what yesterday was?
May 17th? No. What was May 17th?
Dave A's birthday.
Wow. That's really cool. That's interesting that we're doing this show.
Man.
When his birthday was yesterday.
I know. A lot of serendipity going on.
Yeah.
Some would say kismet. Is that the right word for it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. What's the other word? Synergy. Did you say synergy?
No. Love synergy.
Oh, okay.
Let's take it corporate, bro. Let's do it.
Yes.
I'm back at Apple. I'm back in management at Apple.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of synergy going on, guys.
Yes.
A lot of, God, I wish I could remember some of the other terms that people would throw around.
What's the one about it's not a problem, it's an opportunity to fix a problem or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't say, that's a problem. You say that's mm-hmm. an area of opportunity.
Right. We didn't do the show. We didn't get the show out on time, but that's not a problem. That's an opportunity.
Exactly.
To do better next time.
Right.
Or something.
Right. You got it nailed.
If you have time to lean,
you got time to motherfucking clean.
There you go.
You know
that. Oh, that one. That one. Oh, that one irritated me to no end.
I was one of the ones I was thinking about the other day for some reason was sense of urgency. You hear that a lot. Sense of urgency. He doesn't have a sense of urgency.
Mm.
I've probably been, there's probably been many meetings where that's been said about me. What's Brad's area of opportunity? He could have more of a sense of urgency.
What do you think is your biggest downfall? Well, you know, Chuck, I think I just love too much.
Yeah, I care too much about
the
job that I do.
About Pizza Hut pizzas. And getting just right.
Those classic younger person interview answers.
Yeah, oh my God.
I think the problem, and you can ask my friends, I think my problem is that I work too hard. I'm too hard of a worker.
I'm just so serious about making pizza dough that sometimes that's all I think about, you know.
Oh, man. What's going on here? We're a Pearl Jam podcast. Thanks for listening. If it's your first time, we handle all things Pearl Jam or Pearl Jam connected. Pearl Jam adjacent, some might call it. I'm Brad Lyons. This is Brad Blazek. If you'd like to email the show, you can email singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We are on social media. And if you'd like to support the show, you could head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. And before we jump into emails, I think we have some new supporters.
We do.
It's amazing.
Richard Connor and Joseph over at the Grunge Podcast. They
hell yeah.
Another new podcast. I know there's barely any out there, but they do. They look at like everything that's like the big four
right.
of grunge.
Yeah.
So Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, of course. And then we had a super secret addition to the Patreon. This person didn't want to be shouted out, but I'm doing it anyway without saying their name.
Yeah. Thank you, anonymous donor.
Thank you, Anon.
Yeah. No, we really appreciate it.
No, we do. And can I do like a Casey Kasem style long distance dedication?
Bring it.
This shout out goes to a special little girl out there in Atascadero, California. Yeah. Ella Tremblay. She's 6 years old. She loves Pearl Jam. She loves her dad, Rich. And he wrote in to let us know that she loves the video, the little, what is it? Small town, little town. What was that?
Oh my God. Where are you going?
The little concert, small people concert. What's it called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is it the video for Super Blood Wolf Moon?
Okay. What about it?
Where it's like hand drawn.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so, but I still don't know where you're going.
It's called something like
Have I lost my mind?
Tiny, yes, you have. Tiny Tour. What were those? They called it something, and I can't remember.
Well, I think I really just might not know it at all what you're talking about because
well,
I felt
she
like,
loves that video.
Okay, cool.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay, cool, man. I'm glad you didn't just say that.
Well, you know.
Okay, maybe so. I wasn't the one having a stroke just then.
Probably not. It's probably me. But I am, you know, I'm not tired because we're recording this in the middle of the day.
I love it.
Instead of 10 o'clock at night.
I love it.
How did you feel? Look, can we go back to... But real quick, just thanks to Rich and her daughter, Ella, his daughter, Ella, for listening to the show.
Absolutely.
But no, I want to go back real quick to last week's episode.
Hmm.
You stayed up like editing and getting it uploaded to the internets and everything, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you? I when we finished that, I like went and crashed in bed and fell asleep. And I think I woke up one point at like 2 a.m. and I sent you that video of that kid.
Have you ever had a dream that you had you could you do you want You want him to do you so much you could do anything.
You know what I'm talking about? Because I was in like another world, and almost like, you ever wake up like the next day from probably kind of hungover, and you're just like, I don't even remember what happened last night.
I remember those mornings. Like, yeah,
that's kind of how I felt about that episode. Like, I don't remember half of what we talked about.
To the point, you know what I mean, at which I was camping this weekend thinking about this weekend. I was like, right. Oh my God, should we just, I don't know what we said. Did we totally shit on that song by being so kind of tired and brains not working? I don't know. But we did get some emails that some funny action happened. So maybe that made up for it. But I don't even remember what that was, to be honest with you.
I just remember making a very awful.
That's right. And I left it in.
Statement. Too. Yeah, and you did. You left it in. And I was like, oh God.
Nah, man. We're all adults, man.
But yeah. All right. Yeah.
So now, email time?
It's email time.
Okay. Who's up first?
And I'm sorry if, I'll apologize now if there's some, like, if it's noisy in the background here, because instead of being Sunday night where everything's chill and quiet, it's Monday and, like, there's all kind of problems going on around here. So,
yeah,
I have a feeling we're going to get some doggy action shortly.
There's a better way to say that, I think. But we're going to move on into the first email.
Yes, drummers.
Yeah.
This is an email from Amy Nguyen. She says, drummers. But seriously, Jack, through listening to you guys, I've started to focus more on the drummers. Dave K., grateful that he started the band off. By the time I was really cognizant of the individuals in the band, Dave A. was on the scene, so I kind of missed getting to know Dave Cruzan. I've always thought that I didn't like Dave A. because he was such a hard hitter, a leftover opinion of mine from the 90s, but oh my God, he's so damn joyous. I've come to really love him, and I'm grateful for that. Jack, I've always loved. He's just my type of nut job, close to my heart. Matt Effin Cameron, I get what a monster he is. His gravity seems to keep everyone sane. He's the steady base for everyone to play off of. They can all be wild while he's keeping them safe. Grateful for that as well. The band isn't about an individual, it's about the organism. We think that the front man is the conductor, but I'm realizing that it's the drummers who hold the gravity. What do you think about that?
Yep.
Totally.
Totally agree.
I was listening to Attention Dimension today and heard Shine On You Crazy Diamond. That's Jack's solo album.
Right.
Hearing Eddie's voice, I went to YouTube because I wanted to see how Jack interacts with the rest. The first thing that came up was Shine On, Ohana 2019. The unbridled little kid joy in Jack buttering on those drums?
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
While Eddie and Josh Klinghoffer are on the side trying to catch his wave and start surfing is so refreshing. Jack wouldn't let the guys surf just yet. He was still building up the wave. Almost there, almost there. Nope, not yet. Yeah, kinda, almost, nope, yeah, almost done. Just one more thing, I've got to stay in this for a little longer. All the while, Eddie is trying so dang hard to catch Jack's eye and see if it's time to surf yet. Jack peeking up, cracking up, realizing that he's playing solo and the team wants to get in. He giggles inside, then counts down. 1, 2, 3, 4, surfs up. Bam! Freaking wonderful. The drummers all hold the gravity, in control of the wave, each in their own way. Some very stormy waves, some small, choppy, long, steady, monster, subtle. Happy to go on the ride with each of them. Amy.
Hell yeah, man. I agree with all that.
Totally. Yeah.
It's a great breakdown. Yeah. Drummers. We do talk about the drummers a lot.
We do. Yeah, totally. But I don't mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see how you couldn't, though, you know?
Yeah. Well, you can't. I mean, listen, if all we did was talk about Eddie for 138 episodes, the show would get really boring.
Right.
So.
That's true. It's very true. Swoon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. There's that too.
There's that too.
We could go on. Next week is going to be all about Eddie's hair for the last 25 years.
Oh, dude. Talk about cracking a fat.
30 years. You know what? Yeah. Yeah.
Just went right past you.
It did. But I caught it.
2 weeks in a row. Man, failure on the crack 30, of fat joke.
30 years this band's been together, almost, like, coming up.
I know, man. That's crazy. Nuts. I don't feel like it's been that long.
Existentialism.
Yeah. All right.
We're old.
Thanks again, Amy. We got one from Bob here. It says, the subject says, did a double take. Bob said, this new episode already has two plays from me. Hysterical. You two have the gift of awesome chemistry. Such fun to listen to always. The slide whistle running over lines set up for the crack a fat line is just epic SPT content. Thanks for putting these out for us to enjoy. Peace, Bob Remington. Well, you are very welcome, Bob. Thanks for listening and writing in and being a close friend of the show. And I think it's, you know, talk about serendipity. Talk about kismet. I just tried to make a cat crack a fat joke.
Right.
You fucking steamrolled me again.
I did. Yeah.
This is going to be, it's going to become a thing, isn't it?
Yes, every time that comes up, I'm just going to keep going.
I think
pull out the...
The SW?
Yeah.
That's an inside term for slide whistle for you guys that don't know.
Because I know you love it. That's musician speak.
Mm. No, that's just you, man. Let's see here. Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it, man.
I'm the only SW player in the world.
Yeah.
All right.
Above the age of like 10, yes. I think the number of slide whistle players goes dramatically up, percentage wise, you know, based on being the age of 10 or under.
Yeah. Well, I came to it late in life.
Hey, man, sometimes we're late bloomers in life, you know? And there's no shame in that.
Right.
It took you 44 years or however long, or I guess 42 years to find the slide whistle, but let's not spend too much time focusing on the fact that you're late to the slide whistle party.
Right.
But that you even showed up at all.
I even had it for like a year before I even picked it up.
It was just sitting there waiting for you.
It was.
Now look at you.
You talk about the butterfly effect.
Oof.
Of me getting the slide whistle as a joke, as a gag gift, and then a year later it becomes a part of the fabric of society.
Oh, absolutely. Let's just be real clear and honest right now. Not just society, but I think you as a character. I can tell you this, if I'm around for you to pass away, I will definitely be leaving a slide whistle on your grave, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Once a year. Mm-hmm. Other people bring flowers? No. There's going to be, over the years, there'll be a collection of slide whistles left at your grave.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All different kinds.
Yeah. People leave flowers at Jim Morrison's grave. They leave slide whistles at Brad Blazek's grave. That's what's going to happen, you know?
That and like a pound of flour.
Yeah, I'm sure someone will take a dump on it at some point in your honor. And normally that would be terrible, but in this case, makes total sense. That shows some real love.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. this comes from Loretta Ross, one of our new Patreon patrons. And she calls us the Raddest Brads. Rad. Remember that movie? Did you ever see that movie?
Rad? Oh my God, I watched it 1,000 times. That Gleaming the Cube. Come on.
Yes, yes. Rad. I wonder if that's like on YouTube. I'd love to watch that.
Oh, it's somewhere.
Yeah, I've got to see that again. Hello, fellow Pearl Jam nerds, longtime listener, first time emailer. You are my favorite Pearl Jam podcast. The other ones are great. Shout out to Kate Cotton, The Porch. But I found your podcast after coming home from Pearl Jam Fenway 2018. Whoop, whoop. And I'm so thankful to have found it and grateful to both of you for podcasting. You friggin' rock, both individually and collectively. This is my first time emailing really anyone, and I don't want to be too long because I can talk Pearl Jam for days. I love this band. I'm pretty much obsessed with them, and I'm okay with that. I've accepted it. Fucking Gigaton, dude.
I was wondering how you're going to handle that.
Oh, well, that's how she wrote it.
I know. See, that's the extra care. That's the extra care we take here at SBT. Yes. We don't just read the emails. No.
I try to get into her.
Yeah, we kind of embody.
Yeah,
we're vessels.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like when people like. How would you say like how this is written? Because there's capitals. There's extra letters.
It's very conversational. Hoops.
You know, yes.
It's written as if there was a conversation going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if is this how they write, you know, like when you're in court and there's a court person typing.
Stenographer,
yeah. Do they type like this, like with emphasis and like spaces well,
something
and
like that,
and
I'm
stuff?
Sure they'd have to. Be, you know what I mean? Like, because that's mm-hmm. the record of what happened.
Right.
So
and you need that inflection and tone.
Sure, yeah.
This album and I have grown very close. Like if I use Facebook, my status would be, quote, in a relationship with Gigaton. This album is just kick-ass to the billionth. Did I say kick-ass?
I think you did.
This album is just kick-ass to the billionth degree, and each time I listen to it, I find something new I love about it. I gotta let you know that Gigaton has caused me to nosedive into a full-fledged fucking nerd out. Some examples. Search for the band and members under any and all streaming apps. YouTube, Hulu, Prime, friggin' MTV, Netflix, podcasts, interviews, articles, etc. I might be losing it, but I'm loving every second of it.
Hell yeah.
Would love to know what you guys think of Gigaton now that we're a little over a month into it. Favorite songs that you changed your mind on, yada, yada, yada. Whoever said might be in my top three, but that's today. Okay, I'm going. It's always a blast to listen to you and looking forward to the next episode. Thank you so much. Hope you both and your families are staying safe and healthy. Loretta.
Thanks, Loretta.
Woo.
Well, I'll say this real quick. As far as my favorites now, and you know, she's talking about them changing over time. Obviously, this is a new record. And one of those changes happened for me. I went from being, you know, kind of more on the lukewarm side with whoever said to now, I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm already doing the flip-flop on certain songs where some of the ones that I was listening to a lot, I still love them, but I'm kind of getting excited about some of the other ones that maybe I hadn't, I don't know, connected to as much. But
yeah. I haven't really flip-flopped on anything. If anything, I like some of the songs even more than I did, you know? Except, I mean, should I even say it?
No.
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, like 7 o'clock, Buckle Up, of course. I still love Super Blood Wolf Moon. I think that song is amazing. It's like so fucking like high energy, and I love it. Dance of the Clairvoyance, like it's just, I love that. A lot of these songs sound so different from each other.
Right.
That's something that I just really love. So.
Agreed. Yeah, it's like it swapped for me. I liked Super Blood Wolf Moon way more than Whoever Said, and now I kind of feel like I like Whoever Said way more than Super Blood Wolf Moon.
Yeah.
But I still love Super Blood Wolf Moon kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thanks, Loretta. Thanks to everyone who emailed. If you'd like to email us, again, our email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We're on social media, and if you'd like.
What? I'm giggling because we have another email.
Oh, we do? I thought we were done. Man! That's what happens when we take a break in the middle of it. Sorry, no one knows that I just got a phone call and we had to stop for about 10 minutes. And
right.
Oh, man, so unprofessional.
Mm.
Mm. All right, here is our last email from Brian. Brian Mulhall. The subject says podcast design and Gigaton. Hey, Brads, hope you guys are safe and well during these crazy times. The good thing about the release of new Pearl Jam material is that it makes you reevaluate and re-experience the band's wealth of material. And sometimes those ventures introduce you to new things, such as this podcast. I've been making my way back through the album discussion podcast, and I'm loving the banter. I've been a Pearl Jam fan since 1999, and the band's music has inspired me in many ways since then, not least of which has seen me create some artwork based on their albums. Over a couple of years, from 2013, I believe, I began creating a collection of posters based on the band's albums. It started with 10, and I worked chronologically up to Lightning Bolt. I called the poster series Revisuals, and have since done a couple of other collections based on other artists that I think have at least... Wait a minute, I just fucked that sentence up. And have since done... Oh my God.
Sorry.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
And have since done a couple of other collections based on other artists that I think I have. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
It's just like a fucking house of cards, dude. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And have since done a couple of other collections based on other artists that I think have at least a generally high standard. Once I've sat with Gigaton for a bit longer, I look forward to creating another poster. I wanted to share with you said set of Pearl Jam posters that I've created, and he did send us a link. Says, I loved working on the artwork based on each album and getting to the core of how each one spoke to me. Hope you dig them. In the meantime, stay safe, and thanks for creating a naturally awesome podcast. You're welcome, Brian. Thanks for sharing the artwork, too, man.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, they're cool.
They are cool.
They're kind of like minimalistic. Is that the word?
Yeah.
But they're really cool looking. I like the Live on Two Legs is cool. Binaural's cool. Yield is real like almost gives you like a,
yeah, it's like disorienting.
Cool? Yeah.
In a good way,
but it's cool.
Right.
Yeah, totally. They're cool. I'm going to post some of these, so people can see them,
cause
they are pretty neat looking, and I'm interested to see what Gigaton looks like
for sure.
And they're not, you know what I like about them? I emailed Brian back and told him, I like that they're not so obviously like his version of like what the 10 album cover looks like. Does that make sense? He's not copying what they look like.
Some of them don't
look anything like the actual mm-hmm. album covers.
Yeah, a lot of them don't. That's cool. Okay, now we're done with emails. Holy moly. You guys know all the info. We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's get into the topic for this week's episode, episode 138. Seattle, Washington, August 23rd, 1991. Outdoor concert there in Seattle. Dave A's first show with the band. Which is really interesting, I thought, to kind of watch it in that context.
Yeah, totally.
It is funny that this is not a more talked about... Well, I guess it kind of makes sense. I don't know. To me, this seems like a show that would be really, really... Everyone would be really familiar with, just because it was so early and stuff. And it's a full show, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I know I've watched this... This is one of those shows that I kind of go back to when I don't know what I want to watch. And I always enjoy watching it just because it's so early with that incarnation of the band.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of fun to look back and like, it's like, I think it's like some radio dude introduces them.
Right.
You know, it's before they were huge, but they were big.
Right.
Especially in Seattle. You know? So, the Mural Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm. Never. I don't think I've ever been there.
Have you heard of that? I've never heard of it.
I mean, at this point, if it exists, it's probably called something completely different now. But
yeah, that's true too.
I don't know where this
was. Well, it looks like it's a, it just looks like it's in some park too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So
it's a classic like radio show, radio station. It's a classic 90s radio show. kind of, it's not a festival. Well, I guess it's a festival kind of thing.
Yeah.
But,
well, it's during the day. That's another like kind of clue to what kind of, what this was. It's totally daylight out.
It's,
I wonder if anyone that's listening went to that show. If you went to the show, let us know. I'm thinking like Christy. Christy's from Seattle.
Right.
Like, and she's, I think she's the one that's been to some of these early shows. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, if you guys have seen the show, let us know. Send us an email. I'm sure we'll have plenty of talk to, oh my God, I can't talk today, Brad. Mm-hmm. I was doing so good.
I know. Yeah.
I was doing so good. I was like, man, it's early in the day. I'm not tired. My brain's working.
Right.
Yeah. And then I can't speak.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah,
I'll speak for you, Brad Lyons.
Oh, hon. So let's just let's just do it. Let's just start.
Yeah,
listening.
Go to. But if you want to, if you want to watch along with us, go to YouTube and look up. I Googled, or not Googled. Oh boy.
Yep.
I went to YouTube and went to the search thing. Search bar and just put Pearl Jam Seattle 1991, and it was the first thing that came up. It's 91-08-23 Seattle, Washington, full concert. And we'll do a, like a countdown.
Yeah, I'll leave the countdown I did for us. I can just leave that in.
Okay.
For those of you that do want to watch along, I'm going to give you a chance to pause for a second. Then there will probably be like 2 seconds of silence. And then a countdown for you to hit play. So it'll be 3, 2, 1, play. And on play, hit play. Okay. Bye-bye. 3, 2, 1, play.
Is that Joey Belladonna of Anthrax in the audience right here?
Woo! Oh, sorry. That was me.
Yes, you
yeah, there's some,
hit it.
There's some characters out there in that audience, man.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about this, folks? Let's make some noise for these guys.
I love this guy. This classic 90s radio guy, right?
Man, the sounds of Seattle concert series.
Eddie is such a goober.
Let's give a nice warm welcome for Pearl Jam.
I mean, you think this audio is awful? I mean, for a 90s bootleg?
For a 90s bootleg, no, it's not bad.
And I'm blown away by the video. The video, this looks amazing.
Yeah, it's not bad. I love to how, so, you know, it's classic Pearl Jam dress, Pearl Jam attire, but I love seeing little things like Mike wearing a Spin magazine t-shirt before Eddie would go on to write lyrics that totally shit on all those rock and roll publications, you know? it's funny to go back and see them before they got jaded by any of what was about right. to happen to them.
Yeah. Well, too, if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but like Rolling Stone obviously was like the big magazine. And Spin at that time was kind of like underground indie rock and roll magazine.
Yep.
Like the alternative underground thing was Spin magazine.
Right.
But yeah, Jeff's wearing his hat. Eddie's wearing a. Like the cargo shorts and a flannel.
Yeah, Eddie is super classic.
Yeah.
In this song too, I can't remember if we were talking about this before we started recording or while we were on, but you know, this is one of those examples where coming up here, it's so small, but Dave's drum parts for this song leading up to, I believe it's the kind of breakdown before the guitar solo.
A
lot less snare going on. A lot of just kick drum mm-hmm. and hi-hat along with the bass guitar. Whereas, you know, I wonder, okay, so at that day, on August 23rd, 91, he wasn't doing that part yet. I just want to know, this is so nerdy, I want to know how long it took for, because I feel like all, he's so consistent, Dave A is, when you go to listen to a lot of those bootlegs, I don't mean this in a bad way, like he over time developed parts for every section of the song, and then he kind of like mm-hmm. kind of stuck with them, you know, and it's funny or interesting to go back and watch while all that was kind of getting put together in his head over show after show after show, you know, and what we ended up listening to all the time. Here it comes. You hear all that kick and at the top,
right?
Because what we're used to is that
right.
all that snare on all those syncopated kind of backbeat, upbeat things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like playing straight through it.
I should know, but I don't know how long he practiced with them before this show.
If I could be couple days, totally couple wrong, weeks. But I don't think he had very much time with the material.
I think you're right, yeah.
God, look at them, dude. It's all so new, you know? They hadn't played these songs hundreds of times right. yet, you know?
Eddie trying to figure out his stage antics.
Yeah. A lot of nervous energy going on with him.
Nice enough to move out of the way. That was good. I said, you guys are cake. You guys are good people. Yeah, right.
Another great example. Did any of them realize that they're now, at that moment, they didn't realize that they were playing a song that's kind of a legendary rock song?
No.
Right?
I mean, no, it's just another song in their arsenal at the time.
Right.
And this, speaking of that, like, this is a week before 10 was released.
Right.
Right? And
yeah.
Then Evenflow didn't even come out till the next year.
Right.
As a single. You know, because we talked about, like, 10, it took 10 about a year to take off.
Mm-hmm. Love Mike literally wearing a Stevie Ray Vaughan hat.
Yeah. Now look at his guitar. Is that, what is that guitar? Can you tell just from this what
yeah,
we're looking
it's a,
at here?
It's one of his Stratocasters. Evenflow's always been a Stratocaster song.
Yeah.
He's literally playing the solo from the record.
Yeah.
That never happens.
Unfortunately, there's no rafters for Eddie to climb up on.
He wasn't there yet.
To do, so he's.
I love how to, like, getting to see, you know, going so far back and how Stone is still just kind of a one guitar guy then and now. Like, he could bring out 30 guitars out on the road with him.
Yeah.
And he just brings out a gold top still. Like, one, maybe an acoustic, maybe that acoustic electric, and then his gold top. That's pretty much what he tours with now.
Oh, here we go. Feeling Minnesota.
That's a preview of the new Soundgarden record.
I forgot about that.
So much better.
Yeah. A little outshined.
Yeah. Right when I say that, Stone switches to a Gretsch hollow body guitar. I know we've talked about it before, but I just have to say again, this is a song that I mean, I've fortunately gotten to see it live, but I wish they played it more live. This is one of my favorite songs off 10.
This is a song that took me forever to get into.
Yeah.
You know,
I get
younger,
it.
Teenager, metalhead.
Sure.
This was not, you know, coming up a lot. But as I've gotten older, I've seen how great it is. And Eddie's performance, just his vocals are insane.
Absolutely. I also kind of forgotten how often Jeff plays fretless basses back, or played fretless basses back then.
Now, Stone's guitar,
mm-hmm.
Is that like an older guitar?
It looks if older it's not me, actually I older, then it's modeled like an older.
Right, okay. Yeah.
It's a little too fuzzy for me to make out exactly like what model guitar that is. But it does seem to be either a Guild or a Gretsch hollow body. With a Bigsby. If I can get another look at the headstock, I'll be able to tell you if it's Guild or not, because they have a very obvious headstock logo thing going on. But up, oh, yeah, I think that's a. Oh, I spoke too soon. Oh,
here you go.
It was almost too.
Zoom in.
Well, I can't
zoom in on Eddie. Now I know I'm saying.
Oh.
The who's ever filming?
Yeah, moved away in. Right when I was trying to look.
Right.
Damn them. It's interesting, too. Maybe it's the same amount of cymbals on Dave's kit, and it's just ended up moving them, but it's...
I was going to say, that's a weird-looking setup, now that you point that out.
But this was also a festival, so it was probably like a backline shared kit scenario where he was allowed to like add... A lot of times in those kind of shows, unless you're a huge band, which Pearl Jam was not yet...
Right.
You share kits all the time. Like, one person will let everyone... That's what I want to know. Is that was he letting everyone use his kit, and that was his setup at that time? Or was it kind of configured that way because everyone was sharing a kit that played that day, and he just brought his own snare and cymbals kind of scenario? So...
Yeah, unless it's a weird angle, the cymbals look like they're all like right compacted into each other.
Well, they're really high.
Which is not how, and they're high, yeah.
It's very 80s.
He didn't, yeah, very, that's what I'm going to say. It reminds me of like Metallica, like Injustice for All era.
Yeah, or there's like.
Where Dave was never, his were real low and.
Yeah, he was always on top of everything, like physically. Yeah. Like he was kind of like always. Yeah. For the most part, seemed like looking down on his kit and kind of playing on top of it. Not hidden inside of it like that.
Right. Eddie playing them?
Yeah. He probably hit it once and went like, oh, that's not my drum kit. I probably shouldn't be smacking it.
Yeah.
Because that rack tom is, I feel like, is a way bigger rack tom than he ever used.
Yeah.
Stamps on anybody's wrist today. No stamps. Doesn't that feel good? Freedom! No fucking club owners.
Eddie, at this point, did not like club owners.
Man, Alive is the, what, fourth song? Fifth song in?
Yep.
What, I gotta say, what's with Stone's sunglasses?
It's too bright, bro.
I can't, yeah.
The fame on the horizon is too bright, man.
Right, yes, yeah, totally.
No guitar techs, Mike's like, right. The strings like are just hanging. He didn't clip the ends of the strings off. They're just sticking out everywhere. They're probably using someone else's amps. It was probably just like backline yeah. Marshall shit that was brought in from a company.
Then again, it's Seattle, so they're home.
Right.
Would that make a difference?
Good. Oh my God, this is an AM station. I'm just reading the
that's what I
the
was
banner.
I was like AM 1590.
Jesus.
It's the sounds of Seattle. Like,
what is this, the 50s? I don't ever remember. Hold on a second. Yeah, I don't ever remember anything really musical being cool on AM stations.
No, me either. There was, well, in Chicago, there was a station called AM 1000, and it was like, it was all talk. You know, it was like right. Howard Stern type shows all day. And I loved it. I loved all of them. All day, I'd listen to that stuff. But that was just talk. It
right.
wasn't.
Not music.
Music. It wasn't cool, you know? And in the 90s, I mean, it wasn't it like the 70s was the AM stations, and wasn't it like the 80s was when it switched over from AM to FM? I thought.
That sounds so close. I mean, obviously, I grew up, I was a very young person in the 80s, and I never mm-hmm. remember AM radio.
Right.
I always thought it was like that was for old people.
Yeah, totally.
So many people there not understanding what they're seeing.
Yeah.
People in the crowd, I mean.
Yeah, no, I get it. But they're into it, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. But, I mean, no one... I don't see any... are there mosh pits going on and we just can't see them?
I don't think
that's...
You know what? I want to say at one point the cameraman spins around and there is a pit going on.
Okay.
But then again, I mean, there's no, like... There's no crowd surfers, you know?
Right. Doesn't seem to be. He just gave his shirt to somebody?
Yes. Yeah. And I think they were fighting over it.
So weird. Imagine what that would be like, right? If just a random person in a crowd wants your shirt and you give it to them.
Yeah.
And then they fight. People fight over it.
You know... I went Edgar Winter gave me his scarf one time from the stage.
Oh my. I feel like we might need to stop the show. Of course it was a scarf.
Is that a phrase you think you'd ever
never
hear?
Never. It's so funny now that I've made that comment about Dave A and the parts. Like, I think I just maybe noticed the one part that changed because I've been paying more attention. Everything else is pretty much dead on the same.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe I said that. Like, Mike's not changing any guitars and Stone's changing every three songs.
Right. I seen Jeff change too once.
That's normal though. Jeff changed, he's always kind of changed around. Oh, it looks like, was he running through a different amp for this song? Because Stone was just adjusting something on an amp.
Mm.
And it wasn't a Marshall stack. I love it too. All the crew guys, all the...
It looks like Duff McKagan back
there.
It
does. They're all running around for something.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I've seen that guy a bunch of times. Yeah, this is, man, as much as I love this band, and I came on pretty early, like, you know, when Even Flow was the huge video, you know? But that was a year after all of this, or maybe 6 months after all this. I couldn't imagine. I wish I could get on board with a band this early in their career. You know what I mean?
Sure.
To have been at this show and to been like super into them.
Absolutely.
Because I saw STP before they blew up, but it was kind of like, oh, who are these guys? You know? And like sitting there watching them play was like, yeah, they're pretty good. But I didn't know any of the songs. I think Sex Type Thing was the only song I like halfway recognized.
Right.
You know? And that was like the last song they played. But if I had been into them, it would have been cool to see them. You know?
Hell yeah.
Korn was another one. Like Korn I had never heard of.
Oh. Don't bring that band into this conversation. It's funny too to watch this and think specifically with this song that this would go on one of the kind of paramount performances of this song in the Pearl Jam history would be an acoustic show,
right?
You know, with Unplugged.
I always wonder too about like the people recording these, like, was this a Pearl Jam fan? Was it like a radio station person?
Right.
Was it someone that was a friend of the band?
Right, like their merch guy or something? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like, where's that person now?
Right.
It's like, that's who I want to talk to.
Sure.
If they're still into Pearl Jam. Or if they don't even know what they recorded.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, who knows what generation this tape comes from.
Sure.
This could be like a bootleg that was recorded over and over and over, and somebody uploaded it to YouTube. But I think I told you I'm like friends with a guy named I don't even know how to say his name, to be honest. Aaron. Uh-huh. And he recorded the show in Holland. Like 91.
Oh, right. I remember you talking about
92.
That.
Yeah. And I like bumped into him in Lexington at that show, and we kind of hung out, him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my son and my nephew. And then I've seen him like at Wrigley every time. He's always at the Wrigley shows, you know. And he, like, when I met him, he's like, yeah, I film all these shows I go to and take pictures. And he's like, do you know this one certain show? And I'm like, yeah, like that was one of the first bootlegs it was a Den Haag show,
right?
I'm like, that's like one of the first bootlegs I ever had.
I think
like,
for me,
I recorded that. I'm like, whoa, like small world, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And then was it night one? Night one when we had that ticket snafu where that lady and her son were sitting in our seats and they moved us to like the next section up. Me and Kate were sitting there and I was like, I was kind of messing with her. Like I was being like the mean friend and the girl in front of me was, I could tell she was like eavesdropping. So I was kind of playing it up that I was being an asshole. Oh, and I could see the woman sitting in front of me, like being disgusted with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then her boyfriend turned and looked at me, and it was Aaron.
Oh my God.
He's like, Brad? I'm like, dude. Like, I had no idea that it was him for like the first 5 minutes until he turned and looked at me.
After you were being a complete dick to his.
Yeah, exactly.
God. You're a rabble rouser.
Yeah.
Well, Deep's playing right now, so I need to listen to a little bit of this.
Now, I recognize Jeff's bass here. That looks like the Jeremy bass. But what is Mike playing?
From give this it a, angle, it looks like second, an old Tele.
Hopefully they go back to it, but it looks... There he is.
Looks like a Tele.
But it's got, like, all weird stuff on it. It's not just, like, a single color.
Sure.
Or, like, a burst. It looks like it's got, like, seashells and shit taped to it.
Or might be stickers or something.
Yeah. Man, I've said it before. I get it. It's Eddie. Everyone wants to see Eddie. But come on, man. When Mike is soloing, just pan over to Mike.
Right.
You can come back to Eddie when he's singing.
Yeah. You tell him, Brad.
'91. So this is 29 years ago.
Mm.
No. Is that right? 29? Yeah. And you can still, through the portal of time, you can still hear Dave A's fucking snare drum.
Oh, dude.
Tone.
Just a comment for context as well. Like,
mm-hmm.
You got to think what we were used to seeing. Hold on a second. Oh, man.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Present your runaways.
crowd. This is a good song.
Hell yeah, man. A little white go. He's nailing all those fucking weird changes, man. Dave A.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reminding myself this is his first show.
Yeah. It's got to feel good for him to prove himself and for these dudes to not have to, like, babysit him.
Yeah,
I
for
guess,
sure.
Is the word.
Yeah. Well, and what I was going to say, too, was that, you know, in context, what you were used to seeing from rock bands was a very kind of showy, you know, we just come off of a decade of rock bands like doing choreographed guitar sling moves and headbanging with their long flowing hair in unison and this kind of manufactured, glitzy, glammy self-importance. Whereas what's funny to watch, you know, with all these guys, but especially the front man in this case, Eddie, he is his showmanship comes from trying to connect with the crowd. Like he hadn't entered that realm yet where, you know, like in Verses, he's on the VMAs and he's just like his hair shorter and he's just in one place for the most part, just kind of, I don't know, all that energy was literally just this anger coming out through his voice, whereas this is him being so open with the crowd in a different way. It's a little bit more fun, but it's way more genuine and not planned and real than the rock, what we had gotten from rock and roll for almost a decade, you know?
And I think he was just singing directly to the camera. Because it looked like he was looking straight at us. I kind of melted for a second there.
Cracking that fat.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're like literally, they're just bumping into each other.
Jeff and
Eddie's fallen. Eddie's fallen once or twice already, just falling on his ass. You know, it's just, they look like, when we were this age, like this is what we would have looked like playing instead of, you know, Rat and Bon Jovi or spandex and the choreographed stuff that you're talking about. Like, you could see yourself in these guys, not those other guys.
Yeah, I dipped on most 80s music, to be honest with you. That's something I came back to. I was not in love with rock and roll in the 80s. Because I hadn't found, well, they didn't exist yet, and I hadn't really found Zeppelin yet. But the point being, it was all 60s and 70s that I was listening to as far as most rock and roll goes, you know? Which is what they are. They're not in a ripoff way, but they are a 70s band as far as the aesthetic, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember...
1, 2, 3, 4...
Just gonna say, I remember listening to like Def Leppard and Guns N' Roses and Poison.
Sure.
That's like all I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And then this shit hit, and it's like, oh my God. I remember, I've told this before, but I had the single soundtrack and Temple of the Dog before I listened to 10. You know?
Right.
But then I got 10, and it's like, okay, now this is all I listen to. And I remember going back after like a year and listening to a Poison CD. And it just, I remembered like thinking like, ooh, I haven't listened to this in forever. I can't wait because I loved it so much. And I put it on, and it sounded so awful and different than what I remembered.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And it was just so weird, like, oh, like, this is not good. But at the time, that's all I was listening to.
For sure.
And I thought, oh, this is so good. And then I got, you know, kind of opened my mind up to what was going on with Pearl Jam and all these bands.
Right. Well, look, now Eddie is, for you guys who aren't watching along,
yeah.
Eddie has now made his first move on top of the speakers during porch. There's no rafters to hang from, but...
Right. He's not that high up.
He's
what is
not
it,
very
two,
high up.
Two speakers. He's high enough, though.
I mean, like, he's probably 10 feet high, you know?
Yeah. He's doing some weird hippie dance up there.
And, of course,
he's feeling,
the video...
He's vibing.
He's vibing so hard, bro. But that's all we could see. The band's playing a kick-ass,
yeah.
blistering instrumental. And
exactly. Goes yeah. back to what I was saying.
Right.
But I can't... In this situation, you kind of got to watch because he might jump off of there.
Sure. Yeah, you don't know what's
cool.
about to
happen. You wouldn't want to miss that.
Right.
Security guys just totally indifferent. They're just like looking down. Oh, there he goes.
Those four fucking stage hands, man. They're having to run around and untangle his,
right.
his mic cable from the other stands. And,
classic Jeff, just
oh, yeah.
stalking around, jumping.
Drumstick.
I think that's it. That's not yours, Mike. This is for the crowd. We can do one more.
Is somebody yelling posers?
I thought I heard that.
That's fucked. What an asshole. We love you, Pearl Jam. There you go. Why would you be there? Pearl Jam
was on the radio. They didn't tell us, but as far as I'm concerned, you had to be here.
Eddie!
Yes. Out to chat.
Oh, stolen.
See?
He's throwing a basketball to
That's
people in the crowd.
This was.
I think the basketball just literally hit the cameraman.
I think it did. See, so these people are getting to play catch with Eddie with a basketball, and that's all I wanted was to play catch with a baseball with Eddie.
There you go.
In 2016. Oh, man.
Breath.
I don't know about that. Eddie's...
Eddie going... Nah, 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 nah. Like a Muppet?
Yeah. Yeah. Ed's literally just dribbling a basketball around.
He just did a Harlem Globetrotters behind the back pass to the crowd.
He's doing some... I think he was still trying to get his footing with this microphone. He's doing some weird moves with the microphone.
Right. Well, I imagine they're all figuring out a lot about being in this band,
yeah,
and they don't
yeah.
even know it, you know?
Yeah. Well, Well, you might be able to speak to that. Like, these dudes were playing together, and then they find Eddie. Like, what is it like to just have somebody new that you don't know, that you only know, like, how they sound, if they sing or if it's a guitar player? What's that like to have them come into your group of two or three dudes?
Well,
and just like you have to get to know them. And what if Eddie had been like an asshole, but they were like, he sings like so good. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I was about to say, is that a lot of times that's what happens, I feel like. And I think this is one of those things where I would imagine, maybe this is too easy to say in hindsight, right? But I would imagine that if I was those guys and I got that Mama Son tape back,
mm-hmm.
I'd be willing to take the risk on this dude being an asshole.
Right.
I'd say, let's explore this and see what happens. I mean, I got to imagine that the conversations with them were also like, hey, man, why don't you come up here and let's see what it's like? You know?
Yeah.
And now I think once they got in that little fucking dingy basement room they were kind of rehearsing and writing in, I'm sure it was just automatic, like, oh, okay, this, you can hear it in the music. Cool. This is going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But sometimes there's situations, I don't know that I've ever been this guy a whole lot, but there is a little bit of like, all right, who the fuck's this guy? Can you come into my group? You know what I mean? That kind of like young, naive. Well, does he deserve? I see a lot of people kind of treat new band members that way. It's not hazing, but just kind of like, you got to prove yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I doubt that that happened with this particular group of people. You know, I think once they heard him sing and then he showed up and they got in a room together, because they look like they've been a band for a long time. They look comfortable with each other, you know?
Yeah. It's just interesting how songs evolve or don't evolve. Mm. I can't believe this song did not turn into like a Rearview Mirror or an Alive.
I know, man. I'm
in
with
a
you
live
on
setting.
Yeah.
I love this song. It's got this part is so fucking cool with the jammy part of it.
Yeah.
I'm talking over Eddie. Eddie is now crowd surfing
and singing.
Where he didn't even jump. No. He like kind of stood on the barrier and laid down into the crowd and they all just picked him up.
Yeah.
Kind of the anti crowd surfing. But you know what I'm saying? Like this song could have been, this would be an amazing set ending jam, you know, 10 minute version.
Oh,
every
for
night.
Sure. Yeah.
Like they do with like Rearview Mirror.
Yeah. Well, they do it with Corduroy, they do it with River Mirror, they do it, you know?
Yeah. Alive.
Alive Daughter. Daughter's usually
but
tagged,
this song, but somewhere in the 90s, this song just kind of went away. It's made its like resurgence, but not, man.
It's such a good song.
Mm-hmm. And it just lends itself to jamming out, as we see right here.
Right. I mean, think about that. A one song encore, and it was Breath.
Yeah. Like an 8-minute version of it, too.
Eddie's smiling. He got the basketball back, just kicked it back into the crowd. And they're out.
I think Mike gave it to him too.
Whoa! I forgot about that shot. That's a big crowd.
Yeah, dude. There's a lot of people. That's what I was saying. Someone's like saying they're posers. Like, why are you even there? Just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everyone else is like freaking out. What's he giving away? 10? 10 CDs?
Probably.
Is
it looks that, like is CDs. Yeah.
Yeah. Rink Roink? Do you know what Rink Roink is?
Oh, that's what you meant to say was Rink Roink?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought that was a little like...
No, that's like super inside baseball nerdy Pearl Jam.
What'd you say again?
Shit. Rink Roink.
Rink, okay. What does that mean? short explanation.
It was like an early version of 10. I don't know if it's demos or like a bootleg version. But I think it's Jeff and Eddie wrote Rink Roink on the CD and gave it to a bunch of their friends just to have them like, here, check out my new album.
Yeah.
So it's become like a huge rarity in the Pearl Jam collector's circles.
That's cool. Man, that ended up being quite a trip down memory lane. I didn't quite expect this episode to turn into that.
It's like we were saying before, like it's kind of a underrated, you know, early bootleg.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Well, let's get out of here, man.
Yes. Sorry we were late.
Sorry we're late, everybody.
Better late than never.
Damn right. And if you want to email the show, singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We're on social media, and head over to patreon.com if you want to support the show. Patreon, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory for that information. And we'll be back next week. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek, saying I can't get any lower. Still, I feel I'm sinking.
Is that good, Eddie? Remix. Deep that impersonation?
But I wasn't doing deep. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. That lyric made me think of deep.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
Sinking.
Yeah.
Still and we just heard the song. Deeper.
Man, this is the worst outro ever. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we should start over. Bye.